It's reader board. It said something to the fact of, don't put non-food in food containers. You know, that makes sense. Likewise, food shouldn't be put in non-food containers either. You know what I'm saying? But not everyone gets a message until it's too late. In the fall of 2010, at least 17 Cambodians died after drinking rice wine out of a bottle previously used for weed killer. This took place at a ceremony of all things where the villagers were appealing to the spirits to protect children. This was in the eastern province of Kampong Jam, and the police said the victims had drank locally produced rice wine from the bottle that had toxic herbicide. That's tragic on many levels. And I'm sure on the bottle itself, it said, do not whatever. You know, warnings are a part of life, and you ignore them to your own peril, whether it be to your physical health or your spiritual health. And it can be a matter of life and death. In Deuteronomy, Moses, through God, warned the Israelites, don't forget the Lord when you get in the promised land. He's the one that brought you there. He can take you out of it, as well as bad things will happen if you forget God. Jesus often said, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the false teachers or the religious leaders, because they would lead you down bad paths. Well, in our study of Colossians last week, we talked about how in Christ we have fullness in him. We don't need all these other things to be complete in Jesus. If you've got Jesus, that's enough. Peter had said, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Well, we're going to finish chapter 2, and since we've skipped around in Colossians a little bit the last month or so, I'd like to read from chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 to give you the context. We read, in him you are also circumcised, in putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith and the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in this uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. There were a number of false teachers in the region of Colossae, and they were spreading all kinds of untruths about Jesus and the Christian life. And Paul spent a lot of time in chapter 2 dealing with that. He talked about, you know, don't deceptive philosophy and fine-sounding arguments in 2:8 to 10. He talked about false rituals in 11 to 13. Today he's going to talk about three more falsehoods to avoid. And, if you get duped and taken in by these things, you will not enjoy a complete life in Christ, which he promises us. And some of the things that they were dealing with then are a tad different than today, but they're still no less deadly. And part of it, and these include like observance to law to win God's love, or legalism, or the belief that something other than Christ must mediate between you and God. That could be mysticism. There's other religions close related to ours that would say that as well. Or you have to abstain from certain things in order to earn points with God, to get merit with God. Asceticism. We want to reject all things. Remember what we have in Christ. So let's take a look with me at Colossians 2, 16 to 23. Paul writes, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So what we're going to find is three don'ts and one do. And the passage starts out with therefore, and of course you have to say, what's it there for? Well, you go back in time, all those things Christ had done for us, forgiving us, canceling the written code written against us, giving us salvation, and other things that Paul mentions in verse earlier in chapter 2 is all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form, and we have been given fullness in Christ. Christ disarmed the powers and authorities, and that's specifically addressing the Colossian heresy about you need these angelic mediators. And also he's saying, listen, you folks are under grace, not the law. And so Paul is going to say, I want to warn you about these things. Don't get caught up with man-made rules. Get caught up with who Jesus is. And so he begins, warns them about trying to keep rules to be right with God. He says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. In essence, don't let anyone judge you by religious-sounding rituals. Don't be caught up with legalism in regards to diet and days. The Gentiles were not under the law of Moses, the Jews were. And the law was good. It told them what God wanted them to do. It also showed them that try as hard as they might, they weren't going to be perfect. They were going to need a Savior down the road. And that's what the whole point of the law was. And all those ceremonies and different kinds of things were pointed. There is a Savior to come who will help you. The law also showed what God expected for them at that time. And 1 Timothy said, we know the law is good if a man uses it properly. But remember, it has no power to prevent sin or redeem the sinner. Only grace can do that. And its salvation has always been by faith. But what happened to the Colossians is when they became Christians, many of them were Gentiles, and suddenly these folks came around and said, hey, if you want to be right with God, you've got to do all these Jewish things. You've got to eat kosher. You've got to skip the pulled pork. You've got to do this and that. No shrimp on the Barbie. And you've got to keep all these holidays and celebrate all these things, which for your average formerly pagan Gentile meant absolutely nothing. But they began to think, oh, wow, if we don't do these certain things, we won't be right with God, or we'll be getting out of fellowship with him, or he won't be pleased. And there was a lot of pressure. Do this, do this, do this. And they were thinking, oh man, I didn't realize that's what I'd signed up for. Now, with a lot of these kind of regulations and with limiting our freedom, there's a sense of, if you know someone has a problem with alcohol, when you have them over to your house, don't crack open a big one. That's not going to be helpful. Show love. Now, maybe you have the freedom to do that when no one's around, but don't create a problem for someone else. Limit your freedom sometimes. Or, you know, for the Jewish background believers, you know, if bringing a ham sandwich to the church potluck was going to create a real problem, don't do it. Have it at home and it's fine. But the key was, don't let anyone judge you if you do or don't. It's good sometimes to limit our freedom for the sake of others. But what was going on in Colossae was they were like, what? You didn't celebrate the new moon last Wednesday? God is so ticked at you. You are busted. Oh, you might really want to find out, ask yourself if you and God are on the right speaking terms, or if you're going to go to heaven or not. And these new believers would be like, oh, I didn't even know there was such a thing. And it would really disturb them. Then began to think, well, what else have I missed out on? You see, what was going on is the false teachers were saying, Jesus isn't enough. You got to do all these other things. And if you want to really be on the inside track, you've got to really be paying attention to everything else. And some of these false teachers sounded really spiritual. It's like, oh, wow. Well, they keep all these celebrations. They eat just so. They never touch the bad stuff. They are holy. They've got it going on. You look at their lives and you go, they are put together. But really, what was going on in their hearts was something totally different. No, Paul. And the problem was they were judging, and they were saying, boy, you better do this. And if you don't, God's going to throw you out like bad potato salad, you know, kind of a thing. And they were worried about it, and it was really a concern to them. And instead of going, wow, Jesus has done everything I need so I can be right with God, they're like, Jesus did this stuff, but I better add to it, Jesus plus religion. A lot of times, even well-meaning Christians can get caught up and they add all kinds of different things. You should do this or do that or don't do that, or celebrate Christmas or don't you dare celebrate Christmas. That's a pagan holiday, don't you know? Or Easter, oh, say happy Easter. Oh, you know, that's like worshiping the Easter bunny, you know? And others are like, hey, happy Resurrection Day. There's some freedom there. Or read the Bible. Don't read any Bible except the King James or others. Dress up for church or don't dress up. I say wear clothes, you know, that kind of a thing. Drink real wine for communion. Don't let such a liquid near your lips. You know, but every group kind of has their list of what's allowed and what's not allowed. And we all tend, and everyone looks down on the other group that has a different list. But we want to make sure our list of what's acceptable to God and not is based in the Bible. I was reading the Bible the other day, and I didn't see a thing about whether or not you can wear shorts to church or not. You know, or I saw some exposed toes this morning. There's some people wearing flip-floppy things. We don't call them thongs anymore, but, I saw some toes. Who cares? But there are certain things people get really hot and bothered about. And the pressure can be on. And even when we first came to church, this church, there was a lot of, boy, if the music has a certain beat just right, wrong, trouble in River City. This is not of God, and his judgment's about to fall. And I'm serious, that's how it was in many ways. Now, Paul never says, you can't have rituals, you can't do certain things. He doesn't say, thou shalt not celebrate whatever. No, but I do think he is stressing, those things are not a requirement to be right with God. And doing them isn't what makes you right with God in the first place. It's what getting right with Jesus through confessing of sin and submitting yourself to him. The problem is when we judge others by things that are not clearly delineated in Scripture. And that's actually, legalism is bondage. Peter called it a yoke upon the neck. Paul said, stand firm and do not let others be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Legalism thrives in religious duties, but it's based on what the outside is, not the heart. And, Jesus wanted to, was concerned about the heart. Legalism says, I have to earn or deserve the better life. It's a works-based religion. God's word doesn't say do more. Jesus said, it is done. I have finished. We don't earn our way to God. We're given a way to God by grace. And Jesus alone is enough is the message of Colossians. You know, when the false teachers were talking about diets and days, they're barking up the wrong tree, and Jesus himself said, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside makes him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. And this Jesus said, all things are clean. All foods can be received. They're created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Most of you probably don't have a major problem if someone's eating a certain thing. Now, if you're eating a hard-boiled egg around me, those things stink. But that's your deal. I'm not going to judge you on it. Just don't force me to eat it, you know, kind of a deal. But most of us aren't concerned of putting our food requirements on others. But think about what you think, what is appropriate in church or on the stage or around. We've had folks in the past, it's like, in a sense, kids should not be seen and not heard at church. A playground is not appropriate in a church building. Well, guess what? I love the little sound of, I don't mind if they're crying, if they're hollering, if they're jumping around. You know, I'd rather they not like run laps the whole time. But I love the sound of little voices because they are the future. They are the now. We want them here. And that's why we put an effort on these kind of things. We value the children. But there's different kinds of things people are really strict about. You know, but the key is those were the shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Incidentally, Christ did not, of all the Ten Commandments, he didn't say, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. In fact, the one he seemed to break the most, because he was the Lord of it, was the Sabbath itself. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't attempt to keep a day of rest. You work all the time, you will not be healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually. We do need rest. And the body, God designed us to have a period of rest. But I remember I had a good friend in Walla Walla area. He was an older gentleman, and I think he was a I think he was saved, but he told me, oh, Mike, I just hope the fact that you don't keep the Sabbath doesn't mean that God keeps you out of heaven. And I had to tell him, Jack, it's not about what I do. It's about what Jesus has done and my trusting in him. And that's really the issue. But what happens is with legalism is it ends up sucking the joy out of life. It makes it, you know, so that no one wants to really be around you. Many times, you know, you ask, in the past, you'd ask someone out that doesn't go to church, hey, what do you think about Christians? And or what are they supposed to do? And it's like, oh, they got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, if my whole Christian life was like, I got to go around keeping the Ten Commandments, that doesn't sound like much fun. If that was the essence of my relationship with God, keeping the Ten Commandments, now, do I recommend that? Keeping them, yes. They're good for you. Honor your father and mother or they'll kill you. No, seriously, and when we honor God and we're kind to others and we do the right thing, life does go better. Yes. But I don't wake up every morning going, oh boy, there's number one, there's number two, I don't want to. No, I'm like, hey, God, I'm with you today. I want to please you. And that's a whole different mindset. You know, if one of my thoughts go astray, I don't have to worry about God's giant fist from heaven smashing me. Because he loves me and he cares for me. Yes, he might discipline me and there could be consequences, but we don't have to just wake up and go, oh, I got to keep the rules all the time. There was a missionary who was trying to convert some tribesmen, and one man was very old, and the missionary was very Old Testament with a lot of thou shalt nots. And after listening to the missionary, the tribesman said, to be old and to be Christian, they are the same thing. I hope not. No. To be a Christian, Jesus came to give life and life to the full. When we obey Jesus and we're told to obey him, if you love me, you obey me, life is better for certain. But it's not just about following every rules. At the end of the day, don't let anyone judge you by religious sounding rituals, and don't you be judging others either. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Well, then we have the next warning. He says, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Let me tell you, don't be distracted by religious experiences. This is a warning against mysticism. You know, I don't know any Christian who doesn't want to be close to God and doesn't want to experience his presence, have an encounter with him. But the problem is when people elevate those experiences above God. And that's what the false teachers were doing. Like, oh man, I made the connection with this angel and oh, I had this really cool thing happen to me. And then they were acting very holier than thou. So, you know, imagine your friend after church at potluck says, oh, I got to tell you, last week I was caught up to the third heaven after I went to spiritual brother Billy Joe Bob's spiritual seminar on spirituality of super spiritual saints. And if you want to be holy, then you'll listen to his blog too. Or whatever the case might be. Or during small group, someone says, I really shouldn't share this. But then they go on to dominate the next 45 minutes about how they are meditating on the dimensions of the tabernacle showbread table. It was a cubit by 2 cubits and 2 cubits high. And let me tell you that suddenly I was filled with the knowledge of all things. And now I can speak in a spiritual language that is only spoken in the Holy of Holies. Doesn't that happen to you when you read Leviticus? You know, that can be a problem too. You know, and the mysticism isn't necessarily bad or seeking experience with God, but the goal is to know God, not come up with experience. And sometimes these things are just imagination, weird imagination, doesn't do any good. You know, Coach Johnny Kerr of the Chicago Bulls once told this story. We lost 7 in a row. I decided to have a psychological pep talk before the game with the Celtics. I told Bob Boozer to go out and pretend he was the best scorer in basketball. I told Jerry Sloan pretend he was the best defensive guard. I told Guy Rogers to pretend he could run an offense better than any other guard. I told Eric Mueller to pretend he was the best rebound and shot block and scoring center in the game. We lost by 17 points. I was pacing around the locker room afterward trying to figure out what to say when Mueller walked up, put his arm around me and said, don't worry about it, coach. just pretend we won. These proud people were pretending to be humble, but it wasn't really the deal. And what they were doing is actually getting in contact with the demonic rather than divine in the good sense. And by turning away from Christ, they were losing out on heavenly rewards. Yeah, seek to go deeper with Christ, but just don't seek an experience. You know, and Christians, we don't have to go through some initiation to get into the presence of God. We don't have to have the latest thing where we're slain in the spirit and we bark like seals and we suddenly do certain things and then have the fast track of spirituality. No, we read God's word. Yes, be open. Maybe sometimes God does ask us to do uncomfortable things. Sometimes hard things happen in our lives. But don't just go seeking crazy things. Go seeking God. These folks also, in their day, were worshiping angels. Well, I'll add sometimes people are still really into angels more than God. And sometimes they're into to so-called saints. But guess what? The saints are not mediators between this world and the next. Jesus is the only mediator between us and God. Don't ask dead people for help. That ticks God off, and it's not going to help you. And that's actually idolatry. Placing something on a dead person that only God can do, not a good thing. But if you truly come have an experience with God, you will know it. What Peter do? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, Lord. Isaiah, his first thought was, oh, I have sinned. John saw the risen Christ, and he felt like a dead man. When you encounter God, you should be truly humbled. God is great, I am not. He is holy, I am not. I deserve his wrath. Shoo, I get his grace. Seek God and God alone. And that leads us to our next point. We've had some don'ts. Don't do. Hold on to your relationship with Christ. In verse 19, he talks about he's lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. True spirituality doesn't come from just keeping all these laws, but by being connected with Jesus, the source of our life. If your body is not connected to your head, you are going to have a multitude of problems, physically as well as spiritually. You know, because Christ is our head and we are the body, and if you as a Christian are not connected to a body of believers, and I'm glad you're all here, this is awesome. For all the folks that are just, I can worship God in nature all by myself, I don't need anybody else, read your Bibles more, people. No, you've got to be connected to the body, connected to the head. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, you'll bear fruit, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We've got to stay connected to him. Well, how do we do that? Not by trying to beat, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to keep all these rules and regulations. No, it's relating to him. It's drawing energy from him. And yes, that's where spending time in his word and praying and worshiping comes. Obedience is important. Yes, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And good relationships do take effort and time. But hopefully you'll do so. This morning I wake up and I say, wow, I get to spend time with the Lord of the universe. And he wants to hang out with little old me. That's pretty cool. As opposed to, if I don't read Jeremiah 8:18, I'm toast. There's a big difference. Verse 20 says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to him, do you submit to its rules? Don't be a rebel, I don't need no rules kind of thing. Do respect authority. We're told to do that, but do so out of love for God. Our next point is don't submit to made-up rules. This is a warning about getting caught up in asceticism or self-denial or mortifying the body. In the Middle Ages, you might have heard of people wearing hair shirts. You know, they find the scratchiest material possible, wear it inside out so they were miserable all day long. They'd sleep on hard beds. They'd whip themselves. Some of them wouldn't sleep for days or years. They would do everything to make themselves miserable so they could control their sinful desires. And I don't think it probably worked that well. Well, the ladies in my household, they have memorized the last part of verse 21, and they quote it sternly to me whenever I see them in the kitchen making something sweet and yummy. And what it is do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. You ever heard that, guys? And if I even enter the kitchen, they quote with a threat from God in Genesis 2. When you eat of it, you will surely die. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Well, that is true if you're talking about poison, and those Mr. Yuck stickers were a good idea. But, you know, just think hoping a bunch of rules will keep you in line probably won't, especially when they're made up. In verse 22, they're destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teaching. I don't know, maybe you grew up in a church where they used to say, if you want to be holy and right with God, you don't smoke and chew or go with girls that do. I don't know. Dancing in the college I went to was very sinful. So much so there was an old joke that they don't allow sex because it leads to dancing. But anyway, that's another story. You know, now there is wisdom in avoiding certain things that aren't good for you. If all you ever have is alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, sugar, fat, and salt, don't be surprised your health tanks. We do need physical discipline in our lives. There's a place for it. But our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. But just like days and diets aren't going to make you more holy, discipline may not either, probably. Trying to superhuman grit your teeth will not get you where you need to be. We've got to stop, pray, and ask God to help us go the other way. You know, think about a sign. You drive by places that says, do not turn around here. Guess what you're tempted to do? I remember in Cambodia, and maybe this is gross, but it was normal there. Property owners would spray paint on their fence, do not pee here. And guess where all the guys in town would go? You know, that's just how it was, you know? You lay down rules, and unless you can enforce it, unless there was a cop there grabbing guys who were doing that, they were going to keep doing it. But rules only go so far. And putting them from the outside, no, God's got to change our heart. You know, like I'm great at saying, I'm going on a diet. And after day 1.5, bing, out it goes. You know, it helps if you've got a group and you hold each other accountable. Maybe you have weekly weigh-in kind of things or hourly or daily. I don't know how it goes. But we need each other. We need God's help of all. Such regulations have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The flesh can't control the flesh. Mine can't. But the Lord Jesus can help us. Again, we don't use our freedom to sin, but to stay away from sin. You know, have you ever told your stomach, start digesting? And if you ever have, none of you ever even thought about that. Did it work? No. Or stop feeling so lousy. Talking to your stomach's not going to help. External rules aren't going to help us either. That's why Paul said, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Yes, there are standards that are good. Don't love the world, follow God. But remember, just the outward is not going to help the inward unless we are connected to Jesus. So Colossians 2 dealt with some dangers which divert believers from the truth. The truth that Christ is sufficient, Christ is supreme. We're also going to find in the next two chapters that Christ is the satisfying one. Legalism, what's it do? It leads to self-righteousness, joylessness, and judgmentalism. Mysticism leads to weird places and a proud spirit. Asceticism denies things, thinking it makes us more holy, but it just feeds the flesh. These things can give an outward appearance of holiness, but don't change the heart. Well, the answer to legalism is a spiritual reality we have in Christ. We have his grace. And again, like Paul said, should we go in sinning so grace may increase? No, by no means. We died to sin. How shall we live it any longer? The answer to mysticism is being connected with Christ, which you are by faith. Answer to asceticism is we died to the old. We are alive in Christ. Remember, our faith begins and ends rooted in Jesus. So spend time with him. He loves to spend time with you. The one who made you, the ones who is in absolute, complete control of this whole universe, loves to hang out with you. That is amazing. It's not about do's and don'ts in the Christian life. It's about our Jesus. You know, there may be lots of people trying to say, you should do this and that. Check with the Bible. What's the Bible say? Maybe ask some of those questions I wrote in your handout. Make sure you're living life according to Christ's standards, not someone else's expectation. Yes, deal with your sin. You may need help. You may need parameters. You may need someone to say, hey, I'm struggling. Will you pray for me? Yes, absolutely. But draw near to Jesus. Life as a child of God is not about rituals, because the law is only a shadow. The real deal substance is Jesus. Life as a child of God is not about a religious experience, but coming to know Jesus, the living God through Christ. It's not about rules, because you've died with Christ to the things of the world. Life as a child of God is in being in a living, breathing, eternal relationship with the Lord of the universe and resting in what he has done, not in your works. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, you love us. Yes, we want to become more holy. We want to get rid of sin. We do want more self-discipline in our lives. But God, we need your help. And I thank you that we're not left to our own devices. We don't have to punish ourselves. The punishment for our sin has been laid on the Savior and been accomplished. Help us to be people of grace that don't lay unnecessary burdens on others, that don't judge each other, but that we're the ones with our nose in the book. And first of all, looking at our own lives. And yeah, if there's sin, to point it out to others after we deal with our own. But God, help us to be people of grace and kindness and mercy, just as you are those to us. We love you, God.